Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Nina Paul, and we're going to talk a little bit about her family and her roots. So welcome, Nina. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. I'm going to enjoy this. I know it.
I hope so. I always enjoy it. So you know, I always start with the typical question is, you know, why and when did you start researching your family?
Well, it started as a small child, really, because I hated to take naps, and my mother would. I can't fall asleep, Mom. I can't fall asleep. She says, "Lay down and name all of your cousins." And at the time, I had 78 first cousins.
Oh my goodness!
So eventually, I fell asleep. I always got stuck on my Aunt Minnie's kids because they were so much older than me and they lived in Buffalo and I lived in California. So, you know, I'd get stuck. Wait a minute. I know she's got 15 kids and I've only got 11 names here. And so, you know, that even that would get me thinking about it. But I actually started doing research in 77. But of course, we didn't have the internet then. I didn't have good information then. My mother couldn't remember where her mother's family was from. And with a name like Papa, you know, that covers all of Italy. Thank you very much. You know, everybody wants to be the Pope. So I ran across finally a census that instead of putting Italy on there, my grandmother said her parents were from Basilicata. I said, oh, okay, so now that makes us San Felice. Because everybody in Buffalo is from San Fele, just about. But at least it narrowed down the region for me, but all of my grandparents are from different places in Italy. And as you know from your research, you know, record availability is sketchy in some areas, or they're incomplete. You know, there's sometimes big gaps of years that are not available. And of course, those are the years I need. So San Fele has been my focus, because I have two great grandparents from that area, and I've so far been able to trace them all the way back to the late 1600s, early 1700s. So that's been a whole lot of fun for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, you're like a pioneer going back that far. But when I was a kid, I always liked looking at the photo album.
Oh yeah,
you know, and you know, the black pages with the little things with fit the pictures
sure.
in. All
sure,
sure. And so I guess I always kind of, yeah, I always kind of had the bug. But I have to ask you, 78 cousins. I thought I had a lot of cousins with 23. So how many in your mom's family?
My mother was the 13th of 22 children.
22.
Oh, I know.
My God.
Same parents.
They lost
eight of them in infancy or early childhood. But yeah, they had a big family. And it's interesting to see that once people got to America, the infant mortality diminished. I look at the records in Italy, and you got a family that's had 12 kids and there's only three that live beyond their teenage years. So, you know, you know that that was an improvement for them health wise and of course economically, but, and all of those things can contribute to whether or not your kids live to be 20. But yeah, it's been quite a journey emotionally and spiritually. But yeah, it was fun growing up with cousins because you take them everywhere you go.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. And they're like, they're like, brothers and sisters. They're
Yeah,
just like an extra set of
absolutely.
brothers and sisters. But that's amazing. So, now was your mother and her siblings, were they born in Italy or half there, half here? How did that all work
No,
out?
all of her, she and all of her siblings were born in Buffalo.
The ones that died early, they died in Italy, and then.
No, all of my grandmother, all of my mother's siblings were born and died in Buffalo.
Oh, okay. So then, so your grandparents came young.
Well, my grandparents, my mother's mother was actually born in Buffalo. Her eldest brother was born in Italy and came over in 1886. And that was the first of the family, my family, that came over. The rest came over in the early 1900s.
Yeah, so
My
86, that's very early. That's yeah.
my grandmother, my dad's mother, came from Sicily right after the was it Mount Etna? I don't remember. Okay, in Messina. So she came over right after that volcano explosion. And my mother's father came from Foggia, and he got here about maybe 1910. My dad's father came from Terlizzi, and I think he was here in maybe 1910 or 11. So my mother's family from Sanfele were the earliest ones to come over.
Yeah. So now, do you know why they wound up in Buffalo?
A lot of the Sanfilese came over and they ended up in Buffalo. And so they went where they had people.
Yeah, and that's true for most, yeah.
And from what I'm seeing, I've got probably 50,000 names in in the database that I'm creating from the Sanfele residents. And I'm blown away at how many people are actually related to me, either by blood or blood by marriage. But then it's up on the hill, and nobody wanted to go down the hill to find a spouse.
Or they couldn't get down the hill. They right, wanted to
Yeah,
get
they're
down
like, take your cousin Rosie, it's okay. She'll be fine.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. That's funny. Yeah, but a lot of those towns are like that. So that's good information, certainly for anybody that's got family from Sanfele to have somebody putting together that database.
Well, it's good for me, and it's been good for the people that are on the Sanfele Facebook page, because I can pull up everybody that I've got in the database for them to find and connect their people to. I'm finding most people are having they're struggling because they're going backwards, as we're taught to do. But what is missing in that information is a full name. Grandma's death record says her father's name was Micklin. But when you finally get all the way back to his birth record, you find out that his name was Vito Mikla.
Right. Yeah.
It was something else, or even worse. That he used his deceased brother's birth record for his own marriage. And that's why everybody called him Joe. it's been quite a challenge, and I've
Well,
had.
my cousins from my oldest uncle, they were all born in Italy because my uncle didn't come over until he was like in his 30s and came with his whole family. And they told me they come from Torito, small town in Bari. And they said, they would send anybody to the back then, in the 30s and 40s, they'd send anybody to the town hall. They'd send the 5-year-old.
Yeah,
So who knows what,
absolutely.
they to make, like you said, they make up any name.
And birth and death records. I've had to mark the records with lots of comments because the name on the birth record is different than the name on the death record. But the kid's 3 days old, and the kid that they had 3 days ago was named Sebastiano. So I don't care that the death record says his name is now Angelo. He's 3 days old. I'm pretty sure this is the right kid.
Well, we have the Dominics. My mother's uncle was Dominic, and he had four older brothers named Dominic, and they would die. And I'm going, I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm saying, well, wait a second. No, that can't be him. No, that can't be him. Because I was finding, death records as I went through. And I'm thinking to myself, I said, how many times are you going to name a baby the same name until you say, okay, maybe there's a jinx here,
Yeah,
But they
I
did
would
it.
say, yeah, but they did. I've got one relative that had they had 12 children. They had seven daughters named Teresa,
Wow.
and all but one died. I haven't found a death record yet for the last Teresa, but I also haven't found a marriage record for her yet. So it was real easy. You've got an underage daughter and the parents are dead, and the godparents or the aunt and the uncle or the grandparents, whoever's raising the kids, say, we've got to marry this kid off. And she's going to get married. She's really 13, but Jay, I got seven of her sisters here. We could use their birth record. So, and avoid the family council that they had to have.
So I have to go back to your mom's family for a second. So were there any twins in that group of 22?
They love to keep telling me that my uncle Richard was a twin, but there's no indication that he ever had a twin. I asked his daughter, and she said absolutely not. He was not a twin. So in my mother's family, in her nuclear family, they didn't have any twins, but there were a lot of twins in the family. We've got twins in every generation, but it doesn't look like my grandmother had twins. Her sister Rosie did.
Now, did you do a DNA test?
Oh yes, of course. Of
And
course.
so did you find any more? I mean, that's a lot
I
to find,
was.
but did you find anybody you didn't know about?
Oh, I've got plenty I don't know about. There's about 15,000 matches, and that doesn't surprise me at all. There are a whole lot of. There's one line that I would love to connect because my father's paternal grandmother was a foundling, so we don't know anything about her family. And there's about five people that on the DNA matches that don't connect to anybody else in my family. So I'm assuming that they are connected by way of, my great grandmother who was a foundling, but they won't respond to me. And that's really sad because they're the key to me connecting, and it's and they don't care, they don't care. And that's and that's their choice. It's got to be hard to have people just hitting you up on message and say, hey, I think we're related, but whatever.
Well, I came up with somebody. She hadn't done Ancestry. I think we connected on GEDmatch or something like that. And she came up as a second cousin. So now I'm like perplexed, right? And I know all my second cousins. I know everybody. So I said to her, I said, well, you know, gee, did you, you know, who are you? And she said, well, I don't know. She said, I'm adopted. I said, I lived in Queens. Her adopted parents were Italian, so she had an Italian name. So now I'm going crazy because I'm trying to figure out which one of my cousins had this kid. And, you know, I'm going through a whole process of elimination. I knew, I eventually figured out it was on my father's side. But I don't know. So finally she did Ancestry. And she matched my cousin's three children, all of whom were on Ancestry, as, you know, half-sister. So now I know, you know, they're going to find out. So I contacted my cousin Donna and I said, did you see? She said, I saw. So I said, I said, do you know anything? She told me, she said, the only thing I can remember, because I think this girl, I think she was about the same age as Donna's youngest sibling. She said, the only thing I can remember is that my mother crying in the bedroom for 2 weeks. So my cousin must have known somehow, and whoever this girl, you know, they decided to give the baby up for adoption. And but all is well. They've connected, and they know each other, and you know, it was basically, well, you know, wasn't her fault. You know, she didn't have anything to do with this. And my good friend, he found his half brother, older brother.
Wow.
No one had a clue. And, you know, he to this day doesn't know. He doesn't think that his father had been married yet to his mother. He thinks this happened before. And they're a spitting image. They look so much alike. And the other funny part of the whole thing is he called me one day and he says, hey, there's an MS in your tree. Who is that? I said, it's Marion, my wife. He said, we're fifth cousins.
Shut up.
So we're fraternity brothers going back 50 years. And we find out that he's a fifth cousin of my wife.
That's funny. Now I did find two cousins who are the children of my second cousin on my mother's side, the Papa line from San Fele. Her two daughters from her first marriage are related to me on that line, obviously, but they're also related through their father to me on my father's line from Sicily.
Mm.
So that's kind of crazy. You know, who knew?
And I have something similar to that on my grandmother's side, my paternal grandmother. I had no idea that there was any family in Italy when I started this whole thing. And I eventually, my grandmother's name is Piermalo. So unlike Papa, there's Piermalo.
Not a whole
is,
lot of those.
There's one family and that's it. That's the only family. And, you know, connecting with one of my cousins over there, I had seen on the record, because my grandmother was from two noble families, and just above the marriage of her mother and father, there was Piermalo and Crocciolo. There was a Francesco Piermalo married a Maria Crocciolo. And that was the aunt and uncle of my great grandparents. So again, you know, you start like, you know, you got to think things out here. And I think I keep thinking to myself, well, gee, maybe they went to the wedding of the aunt and uncle and met.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So in the case of my cousins, my Pier Mallo cousins, we're related. We're cousins from two families, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, and I don't think that's that unusual, but finding it is unusual.
Finding it. And for me, finding it through such a distance. You know, one family's from Basilicata, the other's from Sicily, you know,
yeah.
And they have to meet in Buffalo, and both of them are related to me. It's like, wow.
That's a trip. That is strange. So so going through these records, because I'll tell you about my mom's family. Everybody was, you know, everybody in Torito was either a farmer, a farmer's helper, or a seamstress. And when I got back to like 1720, I finally found a guy. I think he was a forest ranger or something, some weird thing. Like, so you know, did you find any interesting occupations or things like that going back through these records?
Well, I found that one line, are the Fagellas, they were all like notaries and clerks over at City Hall, and pretty old established family. I don't know whether they were, some of them, you know, prefaced their name with Don. That can mean anything, really. And yeah, but I found a couple of those lines.
But they had to have some status, because they wouldn't have been able to just say Don.
Exactly.
They didn't have some status.
Exactly. And the rest of them were, you know, were farmers, were shoemakers, were seamstresses and midwives, and, you know, and then they came to America and they lost, of course, a lot of that status.
Mm-hmm.
And started out as just one of those Italians from the boat, you know, and making their way as best they could. My mother's grandfather came over. He became a rag picker, or he was a ragman.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got, there's one story where he and his sister got into a big old fight because he caught her in the backyard digging through his rags. You know, that was his bread and butter. You know, you just don't come over and dig through the rags and take what you want, you know. But, you know, his sons, and his oldest son, the one that was born in Italy, became a teamster. And his boys all became boxers. Tommy Paul was featherweight champ in 1932. It's my mother's first cousin. And the youngest son became, he started off as a clerk somewhere. And then got bumped up to a chauffeur for one of the big wigs in Buffalo. And he ended up becoming a big deal. And then his children all became, they're all very wealthy, well-established people. But you know, it's been, I wanted to write a book. I've been thinking about it, you know, writing something on the family and calling it, you know, the children of the rag picker or something. And it's interesting to see how far the family has come, mm-hmm. because they had to leave so much behind, and just having some stability in one place where you can prosper and make sure your kids are educated and make sure that they succeed in life, and watching that, and you know, it's been It's been interesting. It's been quite a journey. It's been a journey of a lot of tears too, because I'm following not just one family. I'm following an entire community to see how they interact, who comes to your aid when there's a death in the family, and who runs over to the courthouse or wherever and registers the birth or the death or stands up for the wedding. Who are these people? How do they fit in the community? And it's been touching to see families that stay together throughout 100, 150 years, even 200 years. You know, here's this guy named Marinero and his son, and his son shows up. And then it's like, wow, and they're still connected. We lose that, of course, in America. We've right. certainly lost that since the end of World War II, where everybody started moving out of their little enclave and to different states, because that's where the work was, you know. And so I feel badly that my kids have not grown up with their cousins, but my cousins yeah. in Gardena all stay together. They're still living in Gardena. You know, and so they've got 3-4 generations worth of cousins that still hang out together.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I say all the time. You know, that's kind of missing. My kids certainly didn't have the same experience that I had. Like I said, they were just all brothers and sisters. I mean, you know, yeah. and my yeah. aunts and uncles were like, you know, a whole nother set of parents.
Yeah, I know. And if this one didn't swat you, the other one's going to.
You always got caught.
You know, I had a situation. All of my son's friends used to come over to the house. And if they misbehaved, they knew they were going to catch it from me. And so I ran into one of his friend's mothers in the grocery store. And I said, you know, Karen, I saw Ben out. And, you know, apparently he didn't tell you that he's grounded for 2 weeks. And she looked at me and she said, can you do that? I said, I can. I don't know if you can, but I grounded him for 2 weeks. She said, why? And I said, that's between him and me at my house. He knows why. He's grounded.
That's too funny. I guess he got the third degree when he got home.
I'm sure he did, you know, and it's really fun because, you know, here he is, he's 40 years old and he still calls me mom and he still hits me up on text message. And
that's great.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's I was just out in California this summer to see my son and, you know, he had to make sure that Benji came with us for dinner. And yeah, it was good. Good times.
You know, sitting around the big table and all of that, and you know,
oh yeah,
trying to graduate from the kids' table to the grown-up table, and
and I never did, and I actually got mad at my cousin Dominic's wife, who's my age, and he's quite a bit older. She was like 18 when they married, and he was close to 40. And she had Christmas dinner at their house, and she had me sitting with the kids, and I was 21 at the time, and she's got my cousin Sammy Jean sitting there with the adults. They said, what is this? And she says, oh, but Sammy Jean is taller. Like, I'm gonna deck you, woman, and knock you out. You know, it's yeah.
Yeah, that was there were a couple of rites of passage in my mom's family. One was getting to go to Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know, I don't think I got to Christmas Eve until I had my own car.
Really?
Yeah, because you know, there were 9 brothers and sisters. And you know, some of my cousins were older in the family, and then my grandmother had a room this big, you know,
oh,
so
yeah.
only so many people could fit, you know.
Yeah.
So that, you know, then of course getting from the kids table to the grown-up table, and then finally not being the youngest who had a hump to the store for soda or cheese. Because that was always the youngest, always had to go to the store. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, I experienced that on one of the trips to Buffalo. I think I was probably 8, 9 years old, and we're at my Aunt Frances's house, and we're all playing cards at the table. It's midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. We're all playing cards. And she sends my cousin Bart, who's a year younger than I am, out for donuts. And I'm looking at my mother like, what? And she says, that's just the way we do things here.
You know, yeah, but you know, back then it was safe back then. You know, you didn't.
Well, you know, again, you stay in the same neighborhood for a long time. Yeah. Everybody knows you. It wasn't that unusual, I guess, to send an 8-year-old out for donuts at 1 o'clock in the morning.
My uncle used to write a note. Give Bobby a quarter beer or six, right? And go to the corner grocer.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's no problem.
Yeah. Please give my daughter 2 packs of Chesterfield Kings.
And you know, it's funny. My cousin John, he's what is he? I think 2 months older than me. So we were always together. We grew up. He eventually moved to where we lived, and we grew up together. And my aunt would leave a pack of cigarettes on the table with like 2 cigarettes in it.
Uh-huh.
And my cousin would say, my mother thinks we're stupid that we're going to take the last 2 cigarettes out of the pack. And meanwhile, you could go to the store and buy a cigarette at a time. I don't know if you had that. We used to call them Lucy's. Lucy's. Yeah. And you could go and for 2 for a nickel. I think, yeah, 2 for a nickel. Yeah. It's like, what is it, 20 cents a pack or something like that. So, yeah, you know, those days, unfortunately, are gone. But, you know, even, you mentioned people leaving. That's even happening in Italy now. You know, I've met so many people now that from Italy, and they all say the same thing. You know, everybody's they can't live in these towns anymore. It's all old people left in these towns.
Yeah, well, that's why a lot of the towns are selling houses for $1.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really want a family to come in and open a little shop and help revitalize the town. And it would be lovely. You know, I'm not looking for a second career, third career, fourth career. I think I've already had 3 or 4 careers already, and I'm pretty much done.
No, me too. I mean, I keep asking some of my cousins over there, can't we get one of the old houses? Can't we buy one back and like fix it up, you know? But I started the process to get citizenship. I should have done it a long time ago, but mainly for the kids. I mean, for me, it's not going to matter, you know. It would be nice to have, and maybe, you know, if you want to spend some time there, you can do it as a citizen. But I want them to be able to have it, and, you know. And now with the EU, it makes travel, you know, a lot easier if you're going from Italy to France or places like that.
I'd like to investigate that. I haven't done it. Things are quite complicated. Because my father's father came over, as I said, in about 1910 or so, 1911. He did file an intention, but he died when my father was 10 months old before he actually got his citizenship. And when my grandmother remarried, my dad's stepfather became a citizen, and on that application, his wife, my grandmother, and the 2 children that they had together were included on it. Mm-hmm. But my father and his older brother were not. So even though you know, so I think I can use that line.
Yeah. I mean, and they're very specific because, you know, adopted parents wouldn't matter. It would be the grandfather, as long as, like, see, in my case, my grandfather naturalized, but he naturalized in 1936, and my father was born in 1923. So when my father was born, my grandfather was still an Italian citizen, therefore making my father an Italian citizen. So I'm okay. So in your case, it would be the same thing.
I think so, because my dad's stepfather didn't adopt him.
Right. Even if he did, yeah, it wouldn't matter, because it's totally by blood. It has to be by blood.
Well, yeah. It gets kind of crazy because, yeah, there's a more of a backstory, but we would need another 2 hours to go through it. But, and then I found out that the oldest of the papas, my great grandfather, they had no trust whatsoever of government, anything. He shows up on all of the censuses under a different name. It made my life hell looking through the census. I had to go by the address. That was the only way I could finally figure out who on this census report was my great-grandfather. Because on one, he was Michael. His name was Bartolomeo. Mm-hmm. On another, he was Charles. Another one says his name is Albert. He actually carried around citizenship papers that he did under his deceased brother's name.
Maybe he was into something nefarious.
I don't know. He was a rag picker. Well, how nefarious could that be?
Yeah, but you know, my cousin's husband used to deliver bread. and he used to drive around in a Cadillac. So,
you know, you just reminded me of a story. I was living in Vegas in the early 90s, and my father came out to see us, and I brought him to one of the local casinos. And, you know, a little place with two blackjack tables and a whole bunch of slot machines and a good restaurant. And he's sitting at the table with this man, and he hears the Boston accent. My father, oh, you're from Boston. I'm from Boston. Where are you born? I'm born in Dorchester. No kidding. You know? And they introduce themselves. They're both named Frank. They're both from Dorchester. They were born the same day, the same year. They lived two blocks apart.
Wow.
And he married the daughter of the family that bought my father's bread route when he came to California. When he left to California. So he was just blown away by that. It was that, how many coincidences can you have?
Yeah, man, some of these things I don't think are really coincidences. I think that, you know, there's some other force there pushing people towards something. You know, I've come across way too many coincidences.
Well, yeah, I visited Phoenix back in my broadcasting days 100 years ago. And I was visiting a TV station that we represented out there. And we went out for drinks, and this man asked me to dance, and his name is Conti. No kidding. I said, my father's family are Contis. He says, yeah, but my family's from Messina. And I said, so's my father's family. You know, and it really shook him up. it got him very nervous. For a minute, he said, I may be dancing with my cousin.
That's funny. Yeah, you know, it's, what is it, the second degrees of, the 6 degrees of separation from, yeah.
I'm two degrees from anybody you want to know. I hand to God, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I've come up with, you know, I've heard so many, you know, similar stories like that. You know, this one woman was, she was looking for, her family came from a small little town in northern Italy. She was looking for a B&B. She said there were like, you know, hundreds. And she narrowed it down to two and went eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And she picked one. She called. And the girl on the phone says, why are you coming here? This is, you know, nobody comes here. And she said, my family's from here. Oh, who's your family? She gives them the name. And she says, hold on, let me get my mother. It turned out that this woman's, I don't know if it was a great-grandmother or great-aunt or somebody like that, left this property where this B&B was to the woman's family that she selected. How's that happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's something woo-woo out there.
No, definitely. I truly believe that. I mean, I've come across too many crazy stories like that. So, but anyway, this has been great fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
I appreciate you taking the time. And so anybody who's looking for your San Fele data, where they find it?
Where they find it? They email me at chaplainnina@gmail.com. chaplainnina@gmail.com.
Okay, great. And I'll put that in the blog and I'll put that on the screen so everybody can see it.
Marvelous. Well, thanks
again. I really appreciate it.
The pleasure's all mine. You be well. God bless you. Have a great new year.
All right, thanks. You too.